Love the champ on a Friday morning. The AFL Games record holder is with us again. Good morning, Boomer.
Good morning, boys. And it happened this morning.
What happened?
I came in here after 5.5 years and I got my fingerprint and walked straight through the door.
Did ya?
Amazing scenes.
Well done.
Absolutely. I was so thrilled. Didn't have to bother Steve-O. Couldn't hear me through all the soundproof glass.
He wouldn't hear you anyway. So,
I might have to apologise for my... I'm a little bit croaky, a little bit sniffly this morning.
Oh, no, I haven't got the... No, I haven't got it.
I don't think I have. I feel great. Like normal, but but I have got a little bit of a croaky voice, so I do apologise in advance.
Well, it's a dangerous flu going around. Has it hit the Kangas, the flu, the nasty one?
No, I don't think it has. We're just not playing great. So we haven't got the flu, no, Daniel.
You need to say that you've got the flu, and you've had it for like 3 years.
Well, not 3 years. Oh, yeah, maybe 3 years, 2 years.
Can you tell us anything? Is a Hall of Fame dinner coming up? I saw an article yesterday. It'd be in the paper. Was it yesterday or Wednesday? Anyway, recent times.
Through the week.
Where I saw your photo. You are eligible for the Hall of Fame this year, the Australian Football Hall of Fame, Brent Harvey, the AFL Games record holder. Have you had a phone call, email, communications from Richard Gorder and co?
No, I haven't had a phone call.
Oh, it's such a lie! Such a lie!
This is a no-win situation.
You are amongst friends here.
Well, in fairness, being the game's record holder, he wouldn't get a phone call. He'd get a knock on the door.
Richard should just rock up.
Yeah.
Look
how they do it in the NFL. That real big guy knocks on the door.
Real big guy.
He's huge, this bloke.
Well, one bloke walks around.
He's a professional door knocker.
So they induct how many they induct every year, but he goes to the individual's houses or if they're in a hotel room or whatever and knocks on the door and says, congratulations.
Wow.
Is that right?
I didn't get that.
Get a red book. This is your life sort of thing.
Very trendy. Very trendy. When that day does occur, Boomer. When that day does occur, have you thought about that, perhaps?
No, I haven't. I actually didn't even know. It's 5 years, isn't it? I've been out there.
Well, if you're eligible,
years,
it must
so,
be, yeah.
I did get a little text message from one of my mates. I don't read the paper very often, but I did get a text message from one of my mates saying that there was a little poll and am I in? But I gave him nothing as well. So, I haven't. I haven't really thought about it. I think it would be pretty cool to be in the Hall of Fame. There's some bloody good names in there. It would be nice to be in that caliber of people, for sure.
What's scary is that it has been 5 years since you've played.
I know.
Because we're talking about this, I think, over breakfast, that Jimmy Bartel is in the same bracket as yourself.
Yeah,
you've retired
right.
in the same 16, year.
Yep.
And I think, in a way, both of you could probably still play now. You certainly think you could play now.
Boomer's been campaigning for 5 years to still play.
It's not over yet.
I've given up this year.
No, it's not over.
I've literally given up this year.
Don't ever give up.
I remember having conversations with both of you, around the time of the retirement. I think, under different circumstances, both you and Jimmy would have played again. But 5 years has gone since.
What do they call it in America? They call it first ballot Hall of Famers. So yourself, Jimmy Bartel, who were the others in 2016?
The message, Pavlich might have been.
Yeah, Pavlich.
One.
Yeah.
Swan, was Dane Swan around the same? I reckon he was on my text message the other day as well from one of my mates.
Yeah, I reckon he was. It's a pretty good crop, the 2016
Enright,
crop.
Enright, Corey Enright, is he?
Yeah, I reckon he's there too.
Yeah, he's
a good little crew there,
Boris
isn't
there? Boris is in.
Now, if I had my way, Boomer, you wouldn't be in for another 10 years.
Thank you, Daniel.
Why?
I appreciate that.
Because I think there should be a 15-year window.
Ooh. 15 years?
Yeah. Lots of players have gone through.
Yeah, I'm 100% with Daniel.
I think 10. 10's enough.
Well, we can talk about the semantics of it, but 5 years, it's very, very recent. Like, he can still play local footy. He doesn't need to be acknowledged as a Hall of Famer just yet. Now, he should be and all that sort of stuff, and I'm not taking that away by any stage. But I just think there's heaps of players that we forget through the journey that we might get to when they're 85, 90. Yeah. Why can't they enjoy that when they're 50 or 60?
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, particularly the significance of the leagues, the SANFL and the WAFL, when the VFL was only going around. So there's you listen on Hall of Fame night of the guys from those leagues that are inducted, and their records and their contribution to the game is simply amazing.
Yeah. It takes out a bit of recency bias as well.
Yes.
It's almost like when someone like Boomer qualifies, like, we've got to get him now, as opposed to take a little bit of extra time. And then I think it's more, you'll clearly get in because of what you've done, Boomer, but it's more of an I think, a better acknowledgement with a bit more time as to who actually does deserve to get in.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't like the ones that get in at 85 years old and they've got 15 minutes to enjoy it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I reckon that's right.
Because you want to share it with your family.
Yeah, you want to share it with your family and get the, you know, I don't know. Does anything come with the Hall of Fame? Do you get tickets to the footy or anything
I'm sure
like
you
that?
Probably
yeah.
get
yeah.
it. You
how
got
many more could you need?
300 club, 400 club,
life members at the Cane.
You're going to have a whole bay at the MCG soon.
I don't want any. That was just a general question. I don't need any more tickets to the football, that's for sure. But no, I really do agree with that. I like that. Yeah.
Well, it's not going to happen this
year. I'll let you know in a couple of months.
Because you'll go in.
Next month, anyway.
Because you'll go in straight away, so it's not going to happen. But we'll celebrate you when that happens, Boomer. We will celebrate you. Hey, we were talking before, and we're going to talk about Friday night footy before 8 o'clock. We're talking before about Jaden Stevenson, Boomer, who's a big recruit for the Kangas a couple of years ago and has been left out of the team this weekend against the D's at Marvel Stadium tomorrow at 4:35. Check your local guides. How do we get him? How do we fire him up? What's the key? Have we got it? Well, obviously, I haven't found it yet, but what is the key to this young fella? Because he's got immense talent.
He has, and his footy hasn't been great, and he's first to admit that. He's a very, very honest guy. I do a little bit of work with him during the week, just on some fitness stuff and a few other little things, and he's the first to put his hand up and say he hasn't been playing great. So does he deserve his spot in the team? Probably not.
Yep.
He knows that, so he needs to go back, and I think these players that get dropped from the AFL team need to go back to the reserve. What do I call it now? Development, is it? Do I call it development? What do I call it? Reserves?
VFL.
Go back to the VFL and absolute dominate. We haven't had too many players go back and do that. Again, though, we have only had 5 players playing VFL in the last couple of weeks. But Steve-O needs to go back, play some really good football in the VFL, get some confidence back, Rammer, and come back in and then contribute, because we've seen his talent. His talent is super when he's up and going.
So can I ask a question on that then? Because I'm not sure, and you're the perfect man to ask about this, I'm not sure that that's used as a mechanism for confidence these days or for form, the dropping. People just keep playing.
Yeah.
You're out of form, 3, 4, 5 weeks, whatever it might be, and they just keep playing them, particularly young emerging players or players like Jaden's who have been through the system for a little while but haven't really cemented themselves as stars of the comp.
Undeserving games.
Yeah, like... And in my day, your day, you'd get dropped and you'd go and get a kick, feel good about yourself and come back when you're ready.
Yep.
It doesn't seem to happen anymore. Is that fair?
No, there is different circumstances. Like at North Melbourne right now, I won't lie to you, if he goes out, we haven't got too many. We had 5 last week. We might even only have 4 playing in the VFL this week.
Right.
So if Jaden Stevenson goes out, who actually comes in? It's got to be positional. Like we can't bring a tall guy in. Can't bring a Matty McGinnis in, who's sitting in the VFL at the minute.
Yeah.
So it's got to be positional as well. So sometimes you do get given games when you don't deserve them, no doubt. But I do agree with you. I think the way the coaches look at it and football clubs look at it, rightio, this guy's had 25 games. Even though he's not really deserving of a spot or playing super well, we've got to get him the 45 games because that's when they start playing some really good football. I don't like it. Because I'm under the old banner as well.
Bad habits.
Yeah.
Sorry, Boomer, but the other part about that is that you want Jaden to go back and do certain things at the lower level, but it's going to be a bit hard if there's only 3 AFL-listed teammates. That you might get flogged because you just haven't got the players, so he's not going to be able to do what he needs to do.
We got beaten by 107 points or whatever it was last week in the VFL. So
he's wasting his time playing it.
Well, they're going to have 150 more possessions with us, which means we haven't got the ball in hand, so he can't... let's face it, like people say we want Jaden Stevenson to do more defensive stuff, but he's an offensive player. So his skill set is offense, first of all.
He's not going to get a confidence boost.
We want him to get the ball up down the wing, take 3 or 4 bounces, have a couple of shots on goal. And it's hard to do that in the VFL when you've got 3 teammates. Or not 3 teammates, but 3 VFL, 3 AFL-listed players.
So this is his 5th year of football. Is there also an element to this? Jaden is the example, unfortunately, here. But is there an element to this about standards of on-field, but standards of off-field, and how he now, being that 5th year player, he has an influence on those younger guys. And Jaden's the example, but unfortunately, he is one of the leaders of that sort of middle tier of player.
Absolutely. What is he, 20, he's about to be 24 nearly?
23,
yeah. Yeah, I think every player at the football club has an influence over other players. Maybe not so much the first year is, but the second year is certainly at the same age bracket of the first year is coming in. So every player on the list has nearly got an influence over other people at the football club. But you're right, when you're 23, 24, you've got all these young kids coming, especially Jaden Stevenson. Like, his first year of football, he won the Rising Star. Playing some really good football. Has he lived up to expectations when he's come over to the Kangas? Probably not, but it's been pretty trying as well.
The beauty of it is, everybody comes to some sort of crossroad through their career at some stage.
Of course.
Now, I'm not necessarily saying this is a crossroad for Jaden, but he's got to make a decision of what he wants to be as a footballer and probably as a person. You know, getting dropped when you do come over as a high price recruit, there's embarrassment attached to that.
Yep.
So I hope he responds and reacts to it really well, because at his best, he's a super talented player.
Yep.
And the Kangaroos. One team is one part, but then the Kangaroo supporters, they want to see him play at his best.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The only thing I'll add to this is the hardest position to play, I believe, on the football field is the half forward role. If you're not a tall, you don't get the ball kicked to you all the time, right? Now imagine playing that right now, unfortunately, for my team, for the Kangaroos. It's hard. You're a byproduct of what happens up the field, and we're having 30 inside 50s.
Yeah.
It's bloody hard.
Opposition are averaging about 60,
60. They're doubling it. Yeah. So it would be very, very hard playing as a half forward in today's football, and it would be extremely hard playing as a half forward, unfortunately, in the West Coast, Kangaroos, these type of teams at the minute, Essendon. So there is a little bit of that, but I'm not shying away, and Steve-O certainly wouldn't be shying away as well. He needs to lift. Well, he's been dropped, so he needs to go back and make sure he does everything right, get back in and get from those, I don't know, how many games do you reckon he's played, Steve-O?
80?
Yeah, so he's close
to 100
his
games,
next 50 games is super important for his career.
No doubt.
Because if he doesn't perform, there's going to be ramifications for everybody.
Speaking of important games, tonight's game is a very important one, 4v5 on the ladders. We get ready to tackle round 10 action. Friday night footy is Carlton and Sydney at Marvel Stadium. What have we got for the Blues? It's Stocker and Young who come in for Williams, Nunes and Kemp at this stage. And for the Swans, Reardon comes in for Rowbottom, who's suspended, and Clark at this stage as well. Now, we saw the Blues very good against the Giants last week. Kicked away late to secure that victory. Speaking of very good, the Swans flew out of the gates against the Bombers at the SCG and were comprehensive in their performance. 4v5, Boomer, two teams on the up with some real progress. What do you make of this contest tonight?
Well, I think it's going to be a great game. Both teams in some pretty good form. They're both, in the last month, they're both in the top five for scoring, which is fantastic. So I think, Whitey, hopefully, we see a high-scoring game. And the start's super exciting, as well as the finish. The centre bounce clearances, this is where the game's won and lost for me, and they're both sitting on top for differential in the last 4 weeks.
Are they?
Yeah, they are. So it's going to be fantastic. So whoever wins the ball and gets it going forward, it sounds like an easy game, but it doesn't happen like that. I mean, Cripps, Kennedy, Walsh, these type of guys, they've got so many plays that can go through there, as we've mentioned in the last previous weeks. But Sydney, if I was dissecting the game and didn't know the stats, I wouldn't have picked Sydney as a high-scoring team from the centre bounces. And Carlton, what they've done in the last month half is they've been the number one team in controlling the football. So they're number one in uncontested marks. So okay. For me, Sydney to deny Carlton the football in terms of uncontested marks, if they can stop those little hit-ups and just chipping the ball around, that's going to be a huge part with the centre bounces of who wins this game.
So we thought last week, Rama, that Big Harry being out might have been a problem for the Blues. They found a way to bypass that through different avenues. I think it was 10 different goal scorers last week. Yeah. Is that a model that they can consistently go to now?
Oh, they have to. They absolutely have to, because what happens now, it's similar to when Curnow was out. The best defender went to Harry Mackay, and that's the way you're able to stop Carlton. So now the best defender goes to Charlie Curnow with Mackay out. So how they share around the goals is really important. Now, the key for Carlton is continued midfield dominance. I think that's been the hallmark of their game. Scores from stoppages, the way they've been able to execute that. But what they've also been able to do is forward half pressure. So that's then creating the goal opportunities. Whereas in the past half, they weren't doing that. They just weren't creating enough turnovers in their forward half to create opportunities for those other forwards, Boomer.
So against the Kangas the other week, they got a lot of repeat 50s, and it's the way they're setting up behind the ball, but that doesn't work. If you can set up super well behind the ball, but if you haven't got that forward pressure you're talking about, Rama, it doesn't work.
No.
So they get the forward pressure, they get the setup behind the ball, the opposition hack kick it out, mark it, and they get another repeat 50. And we know the more times you go in 50, the greater chance you've got of scoring. So I think they've been more methodical in the last month of football, the way they go about their ball movement. And like you said, that Harry McKay's not there, so they've got to be able to get the ball in a different way.
So Whitey, tonight, if you're John Longmire with Cal Mills, is he going around with Paddy Cripps or is he going around with Sam Walsh? Who's he going around with tonight?
He'll take Cripps at the stoppage. That's what he's doing most weeks at the moment to the stoppage expert of the opposition. We'd actually talked about this with Mick McGowan yesterday as to whether the time is now to bring Josh Kennedy back into the midfield mix inside the contest. He's been playing wing, half back. Is that going to be something he's going to do all year, or is he being preserved for the second half of the year? So I think that's interesting. But I think for me, Sydney play this ground very well. And they're going to have ruck dominance, I think, with Hickey and Laddams up against De Conning. And I think if you look at Sydney's forward line up against... Well, Savani, but he's... Savani's a good player, by the way, but yeah. Him dominant, and Shingard as the ruck. Yeah, that's right. But if you look at Sydney's forward line against Carlton's defence, which is inexperienced, they're missing probably three or four of their best defenders, maybe. But just if you look at the matchups, Sydney, you've got players that can mark the ball above their head inside 50, and I think it's a night for Heaney. I think it's a night that potentially Franklin has a big one. I think it's a night potentially, say, someone like a Haywood, a creative forward. I that's where I see Sydney winning the game with their precise ball movement.
I think Sydney's smalls might trouble the Blues.
Inside 50?
Yeah.
But just the way they move the ball, getting isolation or one-on-ones, the way they can.
You look at Saad, and I'm certainly not knocking anybody here because Carlton are flying at the minute. But he's playing in defence, but he's more of an offence to him. Docky, he's starting to add that offence. He defends a little bit better. He defends really well. Williams has gone out, obviously. But I think that they're smalls. Your Papley's, these type of guys. Heaney plays both. He plays a bit of small and tall. I think the Sydney smalls can do a little bit of damage to the Blues. I tend to agree with you. Comment, but I'll go smalls rather than talls.
This is the game for the Blues half. Friday night, big stage.
Agreed.
I think all watching, this is the test.
For
Carlton.
For Carlton.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest test of the year, really.
Look, Sydney won last week against Witches Hats in the end, but their form prior to that wasn't great. So I'm sticking with Carlton.
So last time they had that test half was against the Bulldogs, you know, earlier in the year, and they really stood up and they was like, oh, okay, maybe they're better than we all thought. And then they've had a couple of other tests, the Fremantle game where they came up short. But again, this is back at home, as Rama said, Friday night footy against another team that wants a top four spot. We'll find out a bit about Carlton tonight.
I'm going to the Blues.
Well, we've bought shares in both these teams.
Yeah, that's right.
Emotionally in this
studio.
That's
a good one to watch tonight.
I'm with you. I think the Blues, I'm a believer. I think their system and their setup is going to stand the test of time. I think it's a really good platform to build from. They've shown the capacity to turn games on their head within 10 minutes. They've controlled games early. I think all players are playing terrific roles. Sydney, we love. Midfield last week.
Midfield's key, but Carlton look better.
I'm on the Blues. I'm on the Blues. You're on the Blues. Boomer, you're on the Swans.
I think I am. I think Eddie Hat or Marvel probably suit Carlton the way they're playing that uncontested hit up. But I think Sydney, I think their smalls can do a little bit of damage up forward. So I'll go for the Swans.
And Whitey's on the Swans as well. So we're 2-2.
But I still rate Carlton highly. I think they are a team that going to be a very good team this year. And what they've done, what Michael Voss has done, the list management, but I just think I don't think they're a good matchup, Sydney, for Carlton, and with the players that are missing, I think that sort of makes it a bit easier for the Swans.
2-2 split for Friday Night Footy to start round 10. We'll continue the conversation after 8 o'clock after Johnny Burton gives us all the news on RSN 927. Thank you very much, Nick Quinn there from the TAB. Now, if you haven't registered for the Friday... What do we call it? The face-off. The face-off. Is that many Friday Fs going around here?
But who won?
Confused. You won last week.
Can we get a category without having four?
Well, Ram is the...
Think about it.
In fairness, I forgot last week. Rama has now been warned that he's got 20 or so minutes or 15 or so minutes to sort it out.
That was a two-pointer for me, wasn't it?
Two-pointer, so I'm for your two. Yeah.
And because we did Kentucky's last week, Kentucky's. We can't do Kentucky's today.
What's why you can't? Kentucky's the last two
weeks.
What's
Whitey on?
No good.
Whitey's on zero.
Zero.
I can't even
find Whitey's on zero.
Yeah, zero.
Zero.
Zero. And if you want to be a part of it, register on the website rsn.net.au. Win a $100 voucher from Ribera's in Port Melbourne. Simply sensational seafood where tomorrow's menu is still swimming. Ribera's.com.au.
We've been flooded with nomination.
Have we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, good.
It's good.
That's good. So we'll do that a little bit later on. Let's have a look at the game tomorrow at GMHBA Stadium, if you don't mind. I'm keen to get your take on this. Now, the market's fairly in favour of the home team at the tab, $1.45. 1.45 is the time of the bounce. Buse and Rowan comes in for his first game this year. Gary Rowan, the forgotten man of the Cats. Myers, Nevitt, Matty Nevitt, and Stevens on the outski there for them. And for Port Adelaide, Dumont and Jonas comes in for Frederick Fantasia and Dersma, all omitted.
So does that mean that Dangerfield has been named?
Dangerfield has been named at this stage.
The talk all week has been that he wouldn't play.
Yeah, so but he has been named. Interestingly, he's been named as an interchange player, which is often the giveaway. I don't know why they do that. But it is back at GMHBA Stadium. Last time these two teams met was in the qualifying final at the Adelaide Oval where the Power smacked them, which was 43 points, I think the margin was, last time around. Boomer, the Cats at home are always a challenge. Port Adelaide have won four in a row. They're now, after being zip and five, they're 4-5 and charging a little bit. What's going to happen?
I don't know what's going to happen because my tips are not going so great this year. So whoever I tip, everybody tip against me. But you've seen Port firsthand last week against the Kangas up in Tassie, and they're back. Oh, I didn't realise Alir Alir was so important to him with their setup down back. He rolls back and he plays it's actually going to be interesting because he plays a very similar role to Tom Stewart,
yep.
Where he gets back. He's the last man, the goalkeeper, the general, whatever you want to call him, and sets everything up and intercept mark. That's what he does. And he had abundance of them last week. They also did something a little bit interesting last week, Rama, where Ollie Wines was starting forward. Marshall was in the ruck, and Wines became the ruckman, and Marshall went forward. I didn't mind it. It gives Port an extra midfielder around the ground. He's such a big sort of guy. He can take the boundary throw-ins. I think he might have even got one where he nominated and tricked the Kangas and got a free kick out of it. So they're starting to play some little tricks. Interesting, Dersma. He wasn't fantastic last week, but interesting to see he's out of the team. Now they have got some flexibility on who they bring in and out of the team. But they're good players. Are still very good. Wines, Boke, these guys are so important to him. But again, I'll go back to Alir Alir. If Alir Alir can intercept mark and play well and start their drive from the half back, Port will go okay.
So St Kilda got the game back on terms last week against the Cats by smacking them around the ball.
What they kick? How many in a row did they kick there?
And speed.
Yeah.
So smacked around the ball, then were out and away.
Because the first bit of that game was how far the Cats in the first quarter, how far. And then St Kilda got their groove back and they smacked them. So do Port Adelaide have those weapons to play against the Cats, albeit down there at GMHBA where it's a bit more challenging to do anything against the Cats?
Well, it depends how prepared they are to bring Rosie, Butters and the like.
He's made a big difference, Rosie, going to the midfield.
Yeah, he has, because it's an element of surprise.
Yep.
Yeah, but it's not a surprise now because he's done it now for a month, but he's a surprising player because of how he plays.
Yeah, because one, he can get the ball and step and dance and all that, but then
he's a line breaker.
Yeah, but then he can become the first receiver. And if he becomes the first receiver, that's where the issue lies for clubs because he's away. He's out. And that then goes, if you win from stoppage, you're generally going into a forward line that's mostly one-on-one. Because a lot of clubs now will bring an extra player up to the ball, so your player follows up. So it's sort of 5-on-5, 4-on-4 most times when you're going into your forward line.
The other thing that they do, So Rosie and Butters, these type of guys, they've got the ability, Rama, to go up to the stoppage and call out the extra midfielder. And if the opposition drop off, they've got the actual speed to get. If Port win the stoppage, high ball in, they've actually got the speed to get back in and even up the numbers, which not a lot of teams have got that. So normally a half forward will go up. If they can't get back in, you're one short. Mm. If you do that against Geelong, we know their strengths. It's mopping the ball up with Stewart and these type of guys and rebounding from there. But they've got the ability to get back in and challenge them.
So the beauty of the way Port Adelaide are playing at the moment, there's now the combination of forwards, Marshall, Georgiades and Finlayson. So they've worked out how to coexist. Charlie Dixon's going to come back. Ken will play him. Because Ken likes that long down the line target or long inside forward.
It's almost like they're holding him back a bit at the moment because they are winning and they're giving they want to get the foundation super fit in the two.
And they had a bye last week, I think, the Port Sandford team. Yeah. So probably didn't want to bring him in on the back of no game.
The reality is we're going to find out if Port's form is real or not in this game. And then we're going to also find out. So Geelong play two of their next three at Cadinia Park, then they've got a bye. So they go, I think, Adelaide next week, and then they play the Western Bulldogs the following week, and then it's a bye. So they would want to pencil in two of these three games, particularly the ones at Cadinia Park. So then I think they'll turn, what's that? That'll be 7-5, I think, at their bye.
It's a good point, because they played West Coast 4 weeks ago. Mm. Then they played St Kilda, but it was up in Kazali Stadium, of course. That's a completely different game, getting over the line by 1 point. Bulldogs, who are very unpredictable this year, and then they played the Kangas. So they haven't played a hell of a lot in the last 4 weeks. They have won four in a row. You can only win against the opposition half. But,
and before that, they only just lost to Carlton when they had that good second half.
Yeah.
I still think we're seeing the evolution of Geelong changing and how they want to play. There's always resistance, isn't there, half? If a team that's played a certain style for so long, there's always going to be some form of resistance. So you see it at times working, and you're like, wow, we should continue to do this. Yeah. Then you see it at times on Saturday night last week where it didn't work, and you see the resistance, and that's why St Kilda probably get them in the end. So, again, Cadinia Park's the formations of the ground and how it is. They've always played that ground well, with Stewart being the anchor point of their defence. I want to see this speed still. I'm going down there tomorrow, so I want to see this speed on the game for Geelong. So we'll see if they can maintain it for longer.
Yep. Well, they had moments last week where they were scintillating.
Yeah.
It was so sexy. Yeah, it wasn't funny. It was sexy.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, this happened a bit more than they could cause all sorts of damage. But they don't do it for long enough or want seemingly have the capacity to do it for long enough. Talk about Tom Stewart.
Is it want or capacity, half?
I don't know. I don't know. But observation-wise, I would suggest that they don't fully believe in it just yet.
The other real concern tomorrow for Port Adelaide will be Tom Hawkins. There's not a natural matchup for Tom Hawkins. Like, they've tried Trent McKenzie on him for a number of times. He's not playing tomorrow, but I don't think they'll want to have
still a
Lear.
A bizarre matchup.
Yeah, they won't want to have a Lear on him. I think they'll prefer a Lear on Jeremy Cameron. Yeah,
Cleary.
He's not big enough. Yeah. It's not big enough for Hawkins.
There's no one in the league big enough, is there?
Well, this is why Alea's got to roll back in, if they can do that. Which, the problem with Alea rolling back in and playing that role is it means Stewart's going to be doing the same thing the other end. And correct. I think that plays into the hands of the Cats. Yeah. I'll be tipping the Cats in this one. Anyone going against me?
No, you just Geelong at home.
Yeah. Home ground advantage. Cadinia Park.
Right. Let's have a look at the game at Mars Stadium tomorrow. I'm keen to find out more about this from your take. It's 9-12. We know the Gold Coast are at a different conveyance. They've won after Easter a few times, and their draw coming up to the bye is very, very friendly. They've got to travel to Mars Stadium. It's going to be cool there. The Bulldogs lost last game there by a point to Adelaide. Tim O'Brien comes back in. Taylor Gerace, Crook. Smith goes out as well. Adam Treloar plays game number 200. And McPherson comes into the... goes out of the squad for the Gold Coast Suns. So, relatively unchanged lineup for the Gold Coast Suns. Boomer, on the Gold Coast Suns, just straight up, what's different about them this year? Because they have put up a really strong campaign to date, considering what they've been able to do in the previous generations.
I think they've bounced back really well with King going out injured, Chole coming in and being able to kick multiple goals.
Yeah. Chole and Casbolt have kicked the fourth most goals for as a duo.
It's been fantastic. Now, we know Casbolt's not the best kick in the competition, but, gee, he can pluck a mark, and he plucks them close to goal. So, well, they're the ones he misses, unfortunately. But Chole's been fantastic because he's actually so good and agile on the ground for a big guy that they've got a different avenue now. I'm liking what I'm seeing from the Gold Coast Suns. They've always troubled teams when they play that quick brand of football. And I think with... The quicker guys around the football now, that they're certainly doing that. I mean, Anderson's having a decent year again. Rankin, we know what he's capable of.
Well, he's different.
Yeah, who, Rankin?
Yep.
Yeah,
the penny has dropped for Isaac Rankin.
The last couple of weeks, though. So he was really quiet before.
He's different gravy.
It's a bit of a barometer for them.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think you're going to see that throughout his career.
Having a little bit of work with the Australian Academy with him, he's going to be very good, but you're going to have days where you're going to have to cop 5 and 6 possessions, no shots on goal. His pressure's always been really good, but I think you have to ride the wave with Isaac Rankin through his career until he gets a little bit more consistent. But I'm liking, you're right, the last fortnight's been really impressive from him.
I think it's a bit of the old sort of coach's adage, harder for longer with the Gold Coast.
Yep.
That's what they're doing now. They're in games longer. And I say that because you've got Matt Rowell, who loves a contest. You've got Noah Anderson now, who's playing more regularly up around the football and winning the football. Took Miller, we know. He's a star of the competition at the moment. Then Fiorini's another one. So the heat around the contest is consistent and constant throughout a game. So I think that's where they've been able to get over Sydney, get over Fremantle, because they conceded 66 inside 50s last week against Fremantle, but were able to absorb that.
The one player that I reckon holds the key to this match above any other player on the field is Jared Witts.
Yeah.
So he's been fantastic for the Suns this year. Obviously, he missed most of last year with that ACL.
Because he bullies the other ruckman.
And up against the Dogs, who don't have that legitimate, seasoned experience
Jordan,
ruckman, this
Jordan
is their,
Sweet.
Yeah, this, is,
Sugar
this is their chance, the
Gary.
Suns. because let's be honest, Witts beat Darcy last week, which is a big effort. So this is going to be easier for Jared Witts. So considering that their midfield is in form, we talk often about the territory battle and forward half game, whatever else. The Suns are going to worry the Dogs in this match. I'm not sure whether I'm brave enough to quite tip them, but considering Gold Coast has beaten, as Half mentioned a few times this week, this year they've beaten Carlton, Sydney and Freo. That they are legitimate victories.
It's a really good point because opposition can shark the opposition. So yeah. Witts is probably going to get the over young Gary Sweet. He'll get the he'll get the advantage. But the players around him, like Rao, Anderson and Miller, like they're genuine bulls at the
Fiorini's another
yeah,
one.
Yeah, they're good
well.
In close. So if they can get the tendency to win those stoppages and more importantly centre bounce clearances, that's going to be a huge impact on who wins this game for me.
If the Bulldogs match the Suns on the inside, they'll win the outside quite comfortably, and that's why I'm tipping the Bulldogs.
You're on the Dogs, Boomer?
Oh, sunny Ballarat's quite different to the Gold Coast, Whitey. That's probably
Matt Rowell said to us, Suns won there last year.
Okay, well, I'm going to
get the Giants.
I'm going to go. Oh, was it? I thought it was against the Bulldogs. I was going to go with the Gold Coast Suns after Matty Rowell said that, but I'm going to go with the Bulldogs.
Whitey?
I'm going to be a coward and pick the Bulldogs.
You are a coward. I'm going to the Gold Coast Suns. Well, they're playing difficult conditions up at Metricon Stadium. Ball's always slippery and yuck, and it's hard. You've got to have a territory win, which you talked about. They can do that in a challenging condition, I think, with the breeze and the conditions tomorrow at Ballarat. I'm on the Suns. There you go. You're all cowards.
If you want to have a bet in this game, the Suns at the line, at least, is definitely worth a little bit of a play.
I reckon it is. Let's get to a break. We'll come back with the rest of the tips for round number 10, the Friday face-off, not too far away. And the Squeezeman, Trent Langscaler, join us after this.
Harford and White. It's RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
Right, let's get to the rest of our tips for round 10. The Squeezeman's on the line. We'll get his tip for the Greyhounds this weekend. North Melbourne and Melbourne. I know you're tipping Boomer. Whitey?
Melbourne.
Rammer?
Melbourne.
Pretty straightforward. Adelaide and St Kilda at the Adelaide Oval. Anyone tipping the Crows?
Not quite.
No. Nope. Saints.
St Kilda for all of us. Richmond and Essendon Dreamtime action at the G. Anyone on the Bombers?
No.
Tigers for all of us. Giants hosting West Coast Sunday at Giants Stadium. We're on the Giants.
Massive amount of changes.
A lot of changes.
They'll win and win easily, but yeah, interesting.
Hawthorn and Brisbane. No James Warple for you. You got him dropped yesterday when you spoke to Tom Mitchell. Very disappointing. Down in Tassie, this is Launceston. Lions, everyone?
Yeah.
Brisbane.
Righto. And last game is Fremantle hosting Collingwood. I imagine we're all on the Dockers.
Yep.
Righto. So pretty straightforward round 10 from a tipping perspective. Speaking of tips, the Squeezeman, Trent Langscale, joins us from Greyhound Racing Victoria. Hello, Trent.
Good morning to you, Half. Still catching my breath after a fantastic evening of Greyhound racing at Sandown Park.
Trent was there last night, Daniel, just patrolling. Just had a clipboard and he was walking out on the track. He was just all in very important areas.
Well, he's a very important man. Not surprised whatsoever. What's happening this weekend in the Dogs, Trent?
I was just capturing plenty of content, and there was a lot to get to last night. Half Weashi's Fast, the second fastest ever win at Sandown Park, and a great story with Untapped winning the Group 1 RSN at Sandown Cup. for Premier Racing at the Meadows tomorrow night, going to focus on race 6 and number 8, McInerney. McInerney was a terrific winner at Sandown Park 2 starts back. Just a bit unlucky in a heat of the Harrison Dawson last Friday night, but he likes racing out wide half. We'll go with race 6, number 8, McInerney at the Meadows.
Right, race 6, number 8, McInerney at the Meadows. Trent, you're a star. Thank you, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Harv.
Trent Lescale is the squeezeman. He's the best. Loves the box 4, the Dogs.
You got a tip, Boomer, for the Dogs?
No.
The answer is no. Well, don't worry about that. Let's get a tip for the Friday face-off. A chance to get a $100 Ribera's seafood voucher. Port Melbourne, magnificent. Tomorrow's menu is still swimming. Ribera's.com.au. Whitey, you're second. White Boomer, you're first. You're playing for Gary Bunn and Leopold. What category, Rammer?
Disposals.
Disposals tonight. Carlton and the Sydney Swans. Boomer, please. Who's going to get the most?
Well, Whitey said that Mills is going to go to Cripps, so that leaves Sam Walsh running around by himself, so I'll go Sam Walsh.
Sam Walsh. Nice work there for Gary Bunn. That's a good result for him, although there's only one pointer, even though you do get the same level of voucher. Whitey, you get to go second because you're a loser too.
I'm a bit disappointed about that. I wanted Sam Walsh. I'm going with Callum Mills.
Oh, Callum Mills.
Tagging and getting the ball.
Well, that's what he does.
That's what he does. That was for Chris Hurd from Brighton East. Whitey, barracking for Callum Mills. I get to go next for Gary Drew from Grovedale. And Gaz, you and I are cheering home the champ, Patrick Cripps. He'll do a number on your man, Callum Mills, and still get enough ball and be the winning disposal winner on the field. Rammer, you're playing for Damien Cubella from Maidstone.
It's going to be Damien Cubella.
Who'd you go with?
I went with the Cripper.
I'll go George Hewitt.
George Hewitt.
Oh, no, playing back tonight, just to let you know.
For 4 points is Rammer playing for this week. So good luck to all of our contestants. If you haven't registered, do so at the website rsn.net.au. Be in the draw for the Friday face-off. Competitions page at the website. Thanks to Ribera's Port Melbourne Experience, Melbourne's freshest seafood prepared by the best chefs in town. Ribera's.com.au.